Let's begin. Let's get started. We are in the middle of Pasuk Beis, page 186. Page one. Let's just read the Pasuk again, and we'll continue where we left off. The Pasuk reads, "V'yatoi now yosif lachatoi." The Jewish people continue to sin. What do they do? Vayasu lohem masecha. It's not on. I'm sorry. I raised the temperature. Okay, I raised the temperature. Now it's better. Okay, the temperature has been raised in the thermostat. Okay, it's on now. Now it's on. Let's review. Okay, Pasuk, page 186, Pasuk, Beis V'yatah. Now Yosef Lachatah, the Jewish people continue to sin. V'yasul lehem masecha. They've made for themselves a masecha, a molten image. The metal, they pour metal into a mold to make an image, bikaspam, from their silver, which seems to indicate that the idols that the Jewish people have made for themselves are made from silver, in contrast to the major idol in Beis El Andon, which was made from gold, the Egle Zahav. They want themselves covered from both sides. Make sure you have gold. There are different milos in gold and silver. In ancient times, which metal was more valuable? Which was a more expensive metal? Gold or silver? It's not so simple. Okay, there are different indications that silver may have indeed been more valuable than gold. Today it sounds absurd to say that. Gold, even time of the Gemara, the Mishnah, when they had all the coins, the gold was certainly much more valuable, but it's not necessarily true in ancient times. Ancient times, it seems that in some civilizations and some time periods, silver had more value than gold.
Gold is softer.
Yes, yeah, so
you can chip off all the time.
Okay, but how much?
It's
how much?
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, as far as we know from time immemorial, the availability of gold is much less than the availability of silver. So you think by and what say how much? What is the gold go for? Over $1,000? And silver is what? How much is silver?
Gold is
$1,300. $1,300. Wow, you should have invested in gold.
Yeah,
it used to be worth like $700-$800. Okay, and it keeps going. Now it goes up. It's already $1,300 gold. Wow,
$300 at night.
Unbelievable. And silver? What's silver today?
$16.
So you see, I mean, what are you talking about? How can you compare?
So
isn't that amazing, the difference between $1,300?
Doesn't tarnish,
whatever it is, but isn't that amazing, the contrast, the difference between the two? So how could someone will tell you today though that in ancient times gold, silver was more valuable, you'll say you're out of your mind. It can't be. And in the Gemara, it's certainly not like that. In the Gemara, it's clear as day, the time of the Gemara after the Churban Bayis Sheni, and even during the time of the Bayis Sheni, in the time of the Bayis Sheni, there's no question. The Gemara, the coins, the structure of coins, the whole hierarchy of coins, the Gemara is clearly, it's clear as day.
They don't mention diamonds at all.
Precious stones. Gold is pearls. There's pearls and there are diamonds. There are diamonds. They're sure there are diamonds. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember reading in the Gemara, I think I'm learning Rosh Hashanah, and that the Saitzros, the trumpets, they played them with silver, no?
Right, this week's Parsha,
I forgot that they cared about the money of the Klal Yisrael, so they didn't make them use gold.
That you should not, you're right, you should not, so does it say that? Is that a Chazal? Okay, it could be, very well it could be. Okay, the only point over here is that over here they made it from silver, just an interesting point. Ein kategen asaneger. So that's why it's like, okay. Also, the word in Chazal, there's one thing is for sure. In the world of Machshava, there's one thing is certain. Silver represents Rachamim. Gold represents Din. Silver in is Kesef, and the word that you'll find in all of the rabbinic literature is Kisufim. Kisufim means yearning, emotion, an emotional pull towards the object of your love. Silver always is associated with the midah of rachamim. Gold is associated with the midah of din, because gold is, I don't know what this means exactly, but gold is red. There's a reddish hue to gold. There are many types of golds, but it seems that there are seven types of gold mentioned in Tanakh. Kesem, pause. many different types of gold, and the ultimate gold has a reddish color. Red is Midas Hadin. Edoim is Esav, it's Din, it's harshness. So therefore, whenever we contrast gold and silver in the world of Machshava, silver is Midas Harachem and gold is Midas Hadin. Okay, but what about value? Okay, so we always assume that gold, even it's clear in the Gemara, time of the Gemara, is no doubt about it, that gold is more valuable than silver. The only thing we want to make mention over here is over here, there's not a simple matter here that when the people, when religion, you know, the ancient people, when they invented a new religion, there was a lot of chokhmah. Don't just laugh it off that they were insane and they did things that did not make any sense. Everything was calculated. There was a very deep thought went into every little thing that they did. And the first thing we read on the page, Radak mentioned the text we'll see in a moment. It says here something very curious in this pasuk. The pasuk is going out of its way to tell every word in Nach is measured. It's precious. And if the pasuk goes out of its way to say that they made a masecha from kesef, from silver, and we know that the chet of this generation were the two egle zahav, there is something that's going on here. What is going on? Why, if the people are going to make miniatures, why are they making it out of silver, not out of gold? So one answer is simply they want to cover themselves. It was the totality of the Zohar. You have to make sure you're covered from every angle, from gold and from silver. Or you'll say very simply, they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford it because no, in a base cell and done there, they could afford gold, but they could not afford privately, so they made silver. Or you can say it's a limud schus. It's a limud schus on the people. They were not such believers in the avodah zarah because they really were believers. They would have made the miniatures out of gold. They would not have settled for silver. Today, people, you know, they want the best. Whatever it comes to, a person could afford, has the ability to within his hands. You don't settle for an old model. You want the latest car, the latest gadget. You want the newest and the best, even though it's 100% functional, whatever you have. The fact they made it from silver, plastic here is a limud schus. They didn't go overboard. Why didn't they overboard? Because deep down, they really did not believe in this idol. And that's a limud schus for these people, that they should have a merit to return to Klal Yisrael at some point in time. Then it says, okay, I just want to make a point, because the reason why is because the Mefarshim are going to discuss this, it bothers them. You see from the words that we're going to read very soon, the Radak and the Malbim and Mori Kora, it disturbs them. They're very disturbed and they're irritated. Why did it say here in the pasuk the word mikaspam? Next, kisvunam. We translated this yesterday to mean according to the likeness of atzabim. Atzabim means sadness. It's a euphemism for an idol. An idol makes one sad. A person thinks it will make him happy. We all know this to be true. We pursue narishkeit, and we just get tired and worn out in our pursuit of something which is false, and the goal at the end of the day, we're not happy, we're not better off than when we started, but in fact we are worse off, we are in a state of being otsev. So atzabim is a very common euphemism for an idol. They made for themselves miniature idols from their silver, or molten images, in the image of the main idol that was in the center, very solid, and Basel and Dun. Who was the one who made these idols? There were no knockouts. Okay, the police were out there. The Avodah Zarah police were out there. You know, they have to say the Haredi, it's an expression, the Haredi police. You know who the Haredi police are? The thugs who go and will censor you if you don't follow their extremist views. So there were people out there, the people of Avodah Zarah, they were even worse. And there were no knockoffs. If you have an idol that was not manufactured by a professional with a serial number and registered in a database, then they would arrest you. It had to be Ma'aseh Choroshim. It was organized crime. Organized crime to make sure that your molten images fashioned in the image of the real deal had to be real, authentic, official. The Chorash, he's the professional, the official. Kuloi, every single one of them. No exceptions allowed. No fakes. Didn't allow on Amazon. They were very mockery to make sure there was no merchandise that was counterfeit.
Nothing made in China.
Nothing made in China. It was had to be the real deal. Okay, see, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Lohem heimoimrim. And to these people, they would say, who them? So we learned yesterday in Rashi and the Mitzudos, Lohem means the priest, the head priest, the people in charge, they would say to the people, Zoyfche Adam Agolim Yishakun. So we learned yesterday two or three Perushim. It simply means is that it was a new concept, it was a new idea introduced into this religion that you don't, effort is what counts in this new ideology. You do not have to actually sacrifice your children to a god. If you kiss the god, it's just as good. It's just as good. You'll get the same credit as if you actually sacrificed your child to the god. And that was very appealing to the masses. When you make something very easy, it spreads. That's the success. I'm not saying anything bad now. I don't mean this in a negative way. Don't get me wrong. The success of the Hasidim. When who was the Misnagdim? The Misnagdim were primarily the people who focused on Musar. They were Balei Musar. Musar is not for the Hamoinam. The masses, it's not something that's appealing to the masses to live a life of Musar. Of denial, to deny yourself the pleasures of this world, and to discipline, intense discipline. It's just not possible for the masses. So what does everyone else do? Not everyone can be a Bishol Salanta. So what is everyone else going to do? Where does that leave everyone? You just going to do nothing? So Hasidus, the whole whole institution of Hasidim is to serve Hashem through other means, something which is natural to a person. What is natural? What does a person enjoy? He enjoys to drink, to eat, and to drink, and to dance, and to be with Simcha. So channel, it's a beautiful thing, channel these emotions, these things in life, which are easy and natural to man, channel it to serve Hashem. That's what it's all about. And of course, if you can have both, I mean, that does not mean that the Balei Musar don't have any simcha in their life. Okay, even though the jokes, I mean, all they have, there are so many jokes about the Hasidim, the Litvaks, like Misnagdim, they're very cold and they just know how to shuckle and they don't have any emotion and warmth. It's not true. It's not totally true. It's a little bit true. It's not totally true. But the truth is, you know, the Musar movement is not for the masses. But the concept of being a chosid, this is for the masses. It's something which is very easy, very appealing, very logical. And this is what they picked, and that's why it spread like wildfire. It's not just because it was a response to Shabbat Tzvi. There are many different factors. There are many. Right. It's a very complicated concept. How did it spread like fire? Hasidim, how did this hold about the movement, about Shem Tov? How did it just catch on? There are many factors that contribute to what happened, but one thing is certain, is because it's the alternative is to be a Baal Musa. And not everyone is cut out for that. It's a very small movement, the Baal Musa, the group of people who adhere to the Baal Musa is a very small group, and everyone else needs something. You just can't be left out without a derech.
The thing is, the Musa movement started about 100 years after the Baal Shem Tov.
It started to become an official movement. No. It started as an official movement. Rabbi Shol Salanta, Musa Shtiblochem. But the concepts were always in Yadus from day one. The concepts of Musar, it wasn't a movement. Rav Shol Salanta went and he made it into a movement. The Yeshav Musar Shtibel We have a Kitzayit, doesn't the most amazing thing about Rav Shaul Slanta, which we don't have today, you don't have Rav Shaul Slanta, what he wanted, and he wanted to make, I think was he wanted to make an astronomical number of them. Today, Baruch Hashem and Flatbush, there are hundreds of shuls. Hundreds. And what do you do in the shul? You daven and you learn. You learn. You have, like, just like here, you have mamish wall to wall. How many shuls in Flatbush have wall to wall bookcases with every sefer you can possibly imagine? Every shas, shulchan aruch, paiskim. Rav Shaul Slanta says, yeah, that's right. I also want to make hundreds of public places where you do, where there are no sfarim, absolutely no distractions, no sfarim on the wall. Only sfarim maybe you can have, it wasn't written by then, was the Mesilas Yesharim, Chavis Halavavis, the Shari, they weren't written, I don't know if they were Shari Tshuva, some were written by then, Shari Tshuva, Musa. A place where you do nothing but learn Musa, with no distractions. Don't bring a Gemara in there. Don't you dare. You bring a Gemara into this room, into this space medrash, you'll destroy it. That's not the purpose. The place is one. It's called a Musar.
So that's why there was a lot of even in, by the what do you call it?
Litvax.
Even by the Litvax.
The Bali Musar, they went too far.
Chaim Volozhiner wrote a critique of the Musar of Bali Musar.
Right. He says that it's...
When I went to a base medrash, they didn't even have a full shas.
That's Bedavka, that was Bedavka's point. I'm sure so. He wanted...
Yeah, but excuse me, this was at least 75 years before we saw Salatas.
Okay, fine. Then that idea of the Musar Shtibel was later. That was,
yeah, but I'm saying
the concept of Musar existed from time immemorial. Right. It goes back from the beginning. It was a mahalik in life, Musar. Not everyone is cut out for Musar. Okay, look at today's generation. We're still not cut out for Musar. The proof is, doesn't it, Musar is no, it's not even taught anymore. This is like, who's interested in Musar? And certainly, and even then it wasn't for everyone. So what do you need then? You need, there's a void. There's a terrible void. If the Hamoinam, you have to give a person a derech.
Even within the Litvakas, there was an antagonism to Musar because they're busy with Musar and they're not learning.
Okay, the antagonism came later when Rav Shaul Slanta went to an extreme.
I'm talking even
before that. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's the debate. The debate is Musar, he called it Musar a refuah. It's a healing for the sickness of the soul. Chaim Volozhin said, we're not sick. If you learn a Daf Gemara, you're not a chayla. You don't need it.
That was...
Part of the machlokes, yeah, sure.
So
okay.
Musar was the chassidus of the
Litvak. I'm bringing out that point only for one reason, because over here, this goes back to what he said yesterday. It's an amazing, the reason why he was so successful, Yerav ben Nevat, and being able to mislead 10 Shevatim of Klal Yisrael to worship the Egle Zav, I believe, I'm saying my suggestion, is very much part of these four words that we just learned according to the parish of the Mitzudos. Zoivchei Adam Agolim Yishakun. He made it very easy. It was very appealing. There's no, you don't have to take your child and put it in the fire in honor of Melech. You can get the same results by taking out of your pocket a miniature representation of the Egel. What?
An official
cheap. It's also, it was only silver. It wasn't gold. It was cheap. An official cheap, which anyone can go and buy. If you can't, Obama will provide you with one for free. You don't have to worry about it. You'll get a free one, a free miniature.
It would be in his image.
Free miniature.
Which part of it?
Representation of the Egel, and you just have to kiss it. It's all you got to do. Kiss it with sincerity and you're good to go. It's as if you have taken your child and put it in the fire in honor of Melech. Okay, that has a lot of appeal to the masses because it's very easy. To go tell the masses, if he would have told Yerav ben Nevat, would tell the masses, the whole Klal Yisrael, you have to give me your firstborn child and put him in the fire in honor of Melech, then everyone would say, you know, I think we better go back to Yehuda. I think it's time for you to go. He wouldn't have lasted very long. When you make it easy for the masses, there's an appeal. Then you can create a new religion. You can create a whole new thing. And that's what part of his success. Now, that's only one parish. We learned also yesterday in the Targum. The Targum had a whole new translation. Targum said, when it says Zoifchei Adam, it does not mean human sacrifices. It means to sacrifice animals to Ma'asei Yedei Adam. Adam means an idol. People would offer sacrifices to an object that was the creation of a human being instead of serving Hashem. Okay, so that's a whole nothing. We're not dealing point to the Targum, we're dealing over here with human sacrifice in any shape whatsoever. Rashi doesn't learn like none of the above, not like the Targum, not like the Mitzvot David. He says very simple. He says, no, Yeruvim ben Nevat was a real tough guy. He was very demanding. And he told people, he created an illusion that the greatest zechus you can have in this religion is to merit to kiss the Egle Zof. But to be zoiche, to that madrega, to be invited, to be a finalist, to kiss the Egle Zof, you have to offer your child as a human sacrifice. Three very different perushim in what was the religion, what was the ideology, very different, three very different approaches. What exactly was going on during this time period, the historical account. We don't have records. Only thing we can glean is by trying to read between the lines of the Mefarshim and Rishonim what was going on in the minds of the people at the time when Yeruvim ben Nevat misled them to break away from the Malchus of Yehuda. Well, that's the machlokes. That is the machlokes we just expressed. According to the Targum, no. According to Mitzudos, no. But according to Rashi, yes. According to Rashi, he says the religion was structured in such a way where the ultimate service one can do to the Egel is to kiss it. That's the ultimate thing that you can do. And if you'll kiss it, who knows what kind of Olam Haba you're going to get? Who knows Olam Haza, Olam Haba, who knows what he promised? But to be able to be Zoiche, to kiss the Egel, you had to first sacrifice your children.
So Malach, the institution of Malach is accepted.
Yeah, yeah. According to Rashi, absolutely. According to Rashi, that's what we learned yesterday in Rashi. Zoiche, only those who are Zoiche Adam, well, Malach was you would burn. Malach, you give a living child and you would actually put it in the fire. Put it in the palms. They had a statue that was called Malach and they lit up the palms of the statue to burning temperatures. And you put the baby on the palms and the baby basically melted away in the fire, in the intense heat.
Well, yeah, but as we said yesterday, it might have been a variation of...
Okay, whatever, fine.
There was a... You just passed
through.
That's another variation. Those who didn't want to, different madregas, different levels of moilah. But this is not like what? Reform, conservative. It wasn't the real thing. This is an entirely new religion. It's a new religion. The religion of the Egle Zof. What is this new religion about? Well, we learn right away that most of the Mefarshim say it's Baal. It's a variation of the Avodah Zarah called Baal. What is Baal? How is Baal different than Moloch? How is than Digoin? How is it different than all of the gods in Egypt? I have no idea. This is way over my head, all these different ideas. Kamoish, there's many different gods. Each one represents different ideology. There's Greek mythology that explains a lot of all these crazy stories about the gods fighting with each other and this happening. One marries one, has a child. All ties into what we learn in the Torah. I mean, that one of the most very very important chazal, which really has to be understood, is it says in the pasuk we mentioned a long time ago when they left Mitzrayim. So we learned it say in the Haggadah, Uvuchol Elohei Mitzrayim. In Egypt, Hashem wiped out every single idol of Egypt the night of Makas Bechoros. On the night of Makas Bechoros, every statue in the country, every church, everything that you can possibly imagine was obliterated. There was nothing left. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Hashem says, on this night, when I wipe out the firstborns, I'm also going to do justice to the Elohei, the Elohei Mitzrayim. And what happened? They left Egypt. They travel for 3 days, and Hashem says, V'yashuvu, says to Moshe, I want the Jewish people to go backwards. V'yashuv yachlu lefnei pi hachiros, bein migdal levein yom, lefnei baal tzifoin. What? Did it not say in the pasuk that Hashem says, V'chol Elohei Mitzrayim e'eseh shefatim? There's no one left. So what's this thing called baal? What does Rashi say?
So
Rashi says that, but does not, Rashi is not addressing, but does it not say in the pasuk of the chol? So you want to say the chol does not mean all, it means the majority? Maybe, it's true, because sometimes when you say the chol, you know, it doesn't mean, it means the majority. That's why we say back on the Shbaruch Hu, I'm a lawyer.
The Egyptians, a false impression that this one was...
Yeah, but the part, Hashem promised, uvechol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shefatim. The simple translation is every single last one of them.
Maybe the vase means to exclude uvechol.
No, he's saying this. Jewish. So what is the mechilta say? You can say what you want to say. I'm not saying you're wrong. There are many answers. So the mechilta says, right from that book in the on Egyptian Egyptology, says Enochinami Baal is not one of the Elohei Mitzrayim.
Right.
Baal was a god that was a god of Canaan. And that's why it was not in Egypt. It was outside. They already left Egypt. And it was on the road. Oh, so there was a church there. The church of Baal. Well, how come Baal wasn't in Egypt? Because in Egypt, they didn't hold from Baal. Baal is a nobody. Baal, in their mythology, their gods killed Baal a long time ago. So what's Baal doing? That's why it was outside. And now the Jewish people, they're going backwards to Baal. It's not part of the Elohim Mitzrayim. And it was this that gave Paro the encouragement. Oh, what do we do? Let's go back and chase. And the Mechilta says, just then, it says, oh, now I see my gods, the gods of Egypt, they didn't agree with me when I said, Kol HaBein HaYilad HaYoyot HaShtichu. But Baal, the god of Baal, he was masking to my Gezerah, the Kol HaBein HaYilad HaYoyot Tashlichu, and that's why now he became a convert, Para, a convert to now become a member of the camp of Baal. It was Elohei Mitzrayim. He became a Canaan. Paro converted to the religion of the Canaanim. Okay, Canaan, he became an extension of Eretz Yisrael. The whole Egypt now became a colony of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Canaan. So there's a lot going on over here. What's happening over here? In fact, who says this? The Chassam Sofer says this. This is an amazing thing. He says that this Maise Avoy Simin Labanim, that everything that happened in Egypt is going to happen to Klal Yisrael Yemos HaMashiach. And we're going to see that in times of Yemos HaMashiach, Uvechol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shefatim. All of the false ideologies of the world, Hashem's going to wipe out. But then there's going to be one more Nisayon. There's going to be one, and that Nisayon is going to take us back to the very beginning, to the very first Nisayon. Just like Paro, when he saw they went to Baal, he said to himself, oh, Baal was masking to my Gezerah, my very first Gezerah, Kol HaBein HaYiloid, that first Nisoyon is going to repeat. When we think it's all over, there's going to be another Nisoyon that's going to take us back to the very beginning, right before we come to the ultimate Kriyas Yamsev, we come to the Geula. Okay, so there's a lot going on over here. This was a new religion. One thing we learn over here in the Farshim, most Mepharshim, they associate the Agolim with Baal. It doesn't say that. It doesn't explicitly say that in the Pesukim. Maybe it does. Lutut, some places, not in this Pasuk, though. In this Pasuk, it just says, Agolim Yishakum. And all the Mepharshim here, they all keep on saying, Baal, Baal. That Agolim is Baal. But it wasn't the old version of Baal, because he made here a new concept called Zayv Chayadim. Now, that's all subject to interpretation of what was the new religion, the new version of this religion. Now, let's take a look over here. Let's take a look over here at the Radak. The Radak and Pasuk Beis. Let's see what we left out from yesterday. Some interesting things. Back on page 187, Pasuk Beis V'Atah. Now, Achash Ratzchu Es Hamelech Bavur Ash Ashom Zem Eich Yosifu Lachatoi. Shahamasecha Shenasa Adat Lohem Osuhu Rakhamel. I'm reading the Malam. Let's go back to the Radak. I want to do the Radak first. The Radak. I'm sorry. Radak on page 187, Pasuk Beis. Viatar now. Yosifu Lachatoi. Viatar now. Kishamalach Yeravam Hosifu Heim Oid Lachato. When Yeravam came to power, the Jewish people continued to sin. That is an amazing, amazing Radak. This Radak is Mamish. Yisoidos. This is Kedai to come today just for this, for at least for me, for this Radak. What it says over here is, in the days of the Shoftim, what's the difference between the Aseres HaShvatim and the entire Klal Yisrael during the days of the Shoftim? In the days of the Shoftim, they sinned so many times. There was this vicious cycle. They sinned, Hashem punished them, they did tshuva, they were good for a tkufa, and then they backsliding, Vayishmani Yishun Vayivat, back and forth, vacillating back and forth so many, many times. Here, when it comes to the Aseres HaShvatim, they worship idols, and what happens? It's curtains. Along comes Sancheriv, he exiles them, and there's nothing more to discuss. Why shouldn't the cycle continue like it always continues? Back and forth. Each time we pick up a new, you get a little bit better. Sheva Pamim Yipol Tzadik Vikam. Why couldn't the cycle repeat itself one more time? So the Radak says something here that is really, really fundamental. So, Kimitrila, Kishayu Aivdim, Bimea Shaifdim, Hoyu Aivdim, Hava Olim, they worship Baal, the Shavim El Hashem, and they return. So if the eagle is Baal, it's just another valley in the cycle. When they would return, they would do tshuva. A shayfet would come to power, and umachzidam lemutov. Aval ata, here's the difference. Choshvu laakar mikol avoidas Elohim Elokim yisparach. Shlo yale adam liyushalayim laavoidas beis hamigdash. Viavdu lifnei huagolim loolam. Viamru. The difference now was they went to an extreme. They put into motion things that would prevent them from ever doing teshuva. In the days of the Shoftim, when they worshipped the Baal, they always left themselves an escape route. They always had an emergency exit. If things did not work out with the Baal, if it turned out that the Baal did not reciprocate to their service, the door is there. There's an exit emergency hatch when we can return to Yerushalayim and return to Hashem. In the days of Yeravam ben Nevat, they were oiker. They put into motion things. No Yerushalayim. They locked down. It means Shiloh, Shiloh, Nevi'givayim, but they did not put up sentries to enact laws and kill people who try to go and return to Hashem. They allowed themselves the option of being choizer b'shuva. But when it came over here to the days of Yeravam ben Nevat, they removed from themselves that opportunity. They took action that they should never be able to return to Hashem. And that's why Hashem reciprocated Nida Kineged Nida. You want to guarantee you'll never return to me, I will guarantee that you will also never return. You're also going to be uprooted from this land, never to return. Okay, it's very, very shocking. People when they make decisions in life, you always have to know how far you want to go. You want to leave yourself an option. People always like to have options. You want to have an emergency escape plan.
Don't burn the bridges.
Don't burn your bridges. Don't put yourself in the mats of where it's no return. They were careful in the days of the Shoftim, careful that you'd be able to return. Not here. They burned their bridges. Like you said, they burned their bridges, and that's critical in understanding why Hashem reciprocated by burning their bridges, by not allowing them to be exiled to a point of no return. Very, very fundamental, something which really shook me up when I read this. Okay, now that is the Malbim. That's next. Let's go over here. The next. Let's go further. We're going for the next paragraph. So here's the thing that I was trying to bring out before. The agolim were gold. So why are they making the silver? Why does it say over here, why is the pasuk go to the ever say it was silver? So he says he takes the easy way out. The easy way out is that you have in your pocket silver, so you exchange. It was a commodity, like we learned yesterday. Different currencies. It was a commodity. They exchanged silver to make it gold. That's a very, very too simplistic of an answer. Okay, and they made kisvuna means they made these little miniatures in the image of the atzabim, a euphemism for the agolim. Uperush kisvunam kimoish hisboininu as bedavar ezet sura yasu. He learns that kisvuna sam, not like I translated to you, as Rashi means in the image and the likeness. He learns it from lashon of bina, understanding. The way they related to the Egel is the way they customize their miniatures. The word kisvunam can mean one of two things. Either it means in the likeness, the dumus, in the likeness, or it means in your intellect, in your understanding. So when it comes to making a miniature, either it means the miniature was a replica of the original, just miniaturized. Or kisuna means, you know, it's also a Jewish concept. Every person relates to Hashem differently. They're just like no two people look alike, no two people think alike. So everyone has their unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now to take this concept and apply it to a god, to a pagan, to an idol, that's a very interesting thing. That's only a Jew can do that. When a guy relates to a god, you know, it's one side. There's no individuality. I don't think there's such a thing by Avodah Zarah where everyone relates to the Avodah Zarah differently. I have a different appreciation of the Avodah Zarah. It's all the same. It's a cookie cutter. This is a Jewish concept. And to take it and to hijack this Jewish concept and apply it to Avodah Zarah is a very great crime. Okay, the worst crime you can commit in idolatry is to take principles, precepts, concepts of Yadus and hijack it, steal it, and apply it to idols. That's a terrible thing to do. You want to go make an Avodah Zarah? Be original. Don't be a copycat. You want to make an Avodah Zarah, so go do whatever you want to go. Don't bother anyone. You want to go take the principles of Yadus and you want to apply it to an idol? That's not fair. That's plagiarism. This idea kisvuna means according to their understanding. It has a connotation that everyone relates to the god of Baal differently. Reuven, I appreciate Baal because of this unique practice, this unique concept. And Shimon has a different appreciation of Baal because Baal is so great, Baal connects to each person on their level. Everyone connects to the Avodah Zarah differently. That is a Jewish concept. That is not a concept of Avodah Zarah. To go take that content, apply it to Avodah Zarah, that's Gneva. What?
It says only the way you can worship
Avodah Zarah
idol if you mimic the
Avodah
in
Beis HaMikdash. Right, that's right. You have to mimic. Okay, yeah. The four Avodahs. Yeah, okay.
So if he didn't do it,
so
he didn't worship.
But over here, the Radak is saying something which Rashi touched upon, and that's what we skipped over. This is the Canaan. Is what is this? This is a very unusual word here. It's a very difficult. Yeah, again, this pasuk is very fundamental this way because this pasuk is coming to define. It's defining the ideology of the time. It was a chiddush. It was an invention of Yeravim ben Nevat. He's a brilliant person, Yeravim ben Nevat. He created a new religion. We don't give him credit for that. You know, we don't talk about that. But he, just like today, you talk about Muhammad, and you have Yashka, and you have, all these religions in the world, which I'm not familiar with, They were invented by people. Somehow they convinced other people to ascribe, to join their religion. Well, you Rav Ben Avot, you know, he's on the top of the chart. He created a new religion.
Maybe not.
What?
His was just a negative towards...
No, it's that's this pasuk. The secrets of this pasuk is the definition. His entire PhD thesis is summarized in this one pasuk. This one pasuk is telling us what they did. Viata, he is a fundamental pasuk. Viata now yosifu lachatoi. The Jewish people, right? Everyone is most of the commentators are telling us this is Yeravim ben Nevat's accomplishment. He made a new religion, and we're defining the religion in this one pasuk. How do they sin? Vayasu lohem masecha mikaspam kisvunam atzabim maasei choroshim kuloi lohem heimoimrim zayvchei adam agolim yishakun. Every single one of these words is a principle in this new religion created by Yeravim ben Nevat. And as you see, read carefully the Mitzudos and Rashi and the Targum and the Radak and the Malbim and the Mari Kora and the other Mepharshim, everyone has a different take on it. And it can very well, Elu the Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. And all of these concepts are very deep concepts which appeal to the human mind to capture their attention and their emotion and their desire that indeed they should become a believer, a member in this new religion. And the Radak here is saying one of the big principles of this religion is this one word called kisvunam. Rashi very simply seems to say it means they made a miniature idol which was identical to the tsura, the form of the big idol. Kisvunam is lashon of it's not the same word dimyon, it's not the same word, but the word means it's in the likeness. This is the big one, this is the small one. There is no difference between the two. Only one size. This is a claw. This is big and this is small, but it's exactly the same. That's what Rashi seemed to say, and that's what most of the Mepharshim seem to say. But that's not what the Radak says. The Radak says kisunam comes from the word bina, understanding. It's nothing to do with likeness. And that means that the truth is everyone's little miniature was different. It was different. It was not like the big idol. It was not like my neighbor. Everyone's little idol was different. Why is it different? Because everyone had a different appreciation with the God. Everyone had a different relationship with the God. The way Reuven related to the God is not the way Shimon related to the God. Those are very dangerous words. Because that's really what Yadus is all about. Yadus, Ribbono Shel Olam, is infinite. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created billions and trillions and whatever number of creatures in this world. And every single one of Hashem's creations has a unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a unique appreciation. Their bina, their understanding is different, and therefore their way they relate to Hashem is different. Like Chazal say, Kishem she'ein partzufeim shavos, kach ein de'oseim shavos. There are no two people from the beginning of time to the end of time who look alike. An amazing thing. No two people look alike in all of the trillions of people. Who knows who this is in this world? Whatever numbers there are. I don't know what the numbers are. From the beginning of time. And the same way no two people look alike, no two people think alike. No two people have the same relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here, they're saying that this concept is exactly the concept that was applied to Avodah Zarah. It was Kisvunam Asabim, according to the Radak. That's a Jewish principle that has been lifted and been used and been hijacked for Avodah Zarah. Good morning, how are you? Okay, so this is the parish of the Radak. It's heavy-duty stuff. Okay, Bedover Ezet So Yasub, his scheme will ask Suas Egel, Kamosh also by Midbar. Now he's going on to discussing us a new concept. Why did Yeravim ben Nevat make an Egel? Where did this come from? It's also not a new concept. Klal Yisrael made the Egel in the desert. So it worked then, it'll work now. If the Klal Yisrael were dancing around the Egel, Vayat, it was Mechilois, and it was dancing, it worked. You're a smart guy, Yeravim. Why reinvent the wheel? What?
It didn't work.
It worked until Moshe came and shy the Luchas. There's no Moshe. Moshe is long gone. There's Moshe. No one's going to come and shatter and shatter and shatter the Luchas for us anymore. Yeah, because they had Moshe, but no one's going to come shoot them down now.
Still are left with the results.
So they legitimized it. They said because it was really we were right. We really were right. Just that at that time, since we had Moshe, so we didn't need it. The way the Mefarshim learn thing is that you need an imtsa, you need a middleman.
Right, all right. So according to those that said it was Moshe they were replacing, and not Kadosh Baruch
Hu. They were replacing Moshe. Yeah. So that was also, but because Moshe came back, I'm back. So you don't need this. But now we don't have an emtsa like Moshe, a navi like Moshe. So now we need it. It's legit. The only reason why it was illegit then was because we had a Moshe. We don't have a Moshe, so now we can go back. And why we invented it worked. It worked. They were dancing. The people gave donations. Money came in. Follow the money. Follow the money they gave off. They gave their jewelry, their earrings, their best jewelry they all gave to build, make the Egel Azov. So we have a precedent that it's going to work. It's going to work to make an Egel, so he built upon it. Another principle in his brilliant approach, he was a very clever person, Yoram ben Nevat, to go create a new religion, and in order to convince, to fool all these people, and these are the smartest people in the world. The Jews don't fall for these type of things. And he was able to convince them to join this new religion. There's a lot going on here. It's not just, just pass over lightly what he did. So Radak says he made here the Eskimu La'asoy Tzuras Egel Kamo Shasa B'Midbar. This is nothing new. This is just going back within the desert. V'yatam Perashnu B'Sefer Malachim V'yonis Antirgim. Now he goes back with this. Yes, Yonis Antirgim Kisvunasam Kimoy B'Tav Nisam Shetirgim Kid Mushoin. He's saying, not like what I said. Yoinus Tani has a very simplistic approach to what was going on here. They just made replicas, miniaturization, pure. It was exactly the same thing. Umilas kisvunam hayroyd kisvunasam. It means there. It means like in the demus. Lechein, he brings a precedent of the lechein. Vitzurim levalus yishol. I don't know what that means. Okay, we'll leave. Let's go back to the last line. Okay, let's leave that out. Let's go to the next paragraph. The next paragraph is Maase Chodashim Kuloi Kol Egel Hu Maase De Chorash. The Egel was made by a craftsman. Ein Dover Ruchani Bo. Now he's saying a new parish. He's giving a new twist. He's saying there was no spirituality. It was purely Ein Dover Ruchani Bo. That's what it means, a Chorash. Chorash means it was purely a Dover Gashmi. Is that part of the religion also? I don't know. Kamo Sha'amar V'chol Ruach Ein Bekir Bo. Elohem Hei Maimrim Bavuram. Hey, Moimrim, who is the one who's speaking in this part of the pasuk? The Kohanim, the priest, for Egel, Livnei Adam, Habam Lizbayach, Zev Chayadim, Kolaymar, Mi Mibnei Adam, Sheyirtzel Lizbayach, any man who wants, is a new parish number 4 of the word Zev Chayadim. Let's read one more line. Agolim Yishakun Yishku, Agolim Alpiem, Kilotia, Avaidosam, Shalema, Ad Sheyishku, Oysam, Kihain, Hoya, Minhagim, Kumashamar, Fourth interpretation. When it says Zoivchi Adam means, Adam does not mean a human sacrifice. It means any man who would like today to offer a sacrifice to the Egel, an animal, a bird, a fish, whatever you want to offer as a sacrifice to the Egel, before you offer the sacrifice, you have to kiss the Egel. Because this is not going to be like in the Beis Hamikdash, where people are insincere in the bring of Kurbanos. You get a little flavor over here, what he was doing, Rav Ben Nevat, according to the Radak. It was a prerequisite before you bring the sacrifice, you have to show you're sincere by kissing the Egel.
He wanted it to be Lishma.
Lishma, right. It has to be Lishma. Zvachim, call Hazvachim Shinizbihu Shaloy Lashman Kesherim. So Yeravim was Machmir. I don't hold from the Daf Yomi. We don't learn Daf Yomi. We in our mission it says call Hazvachim Shinizbihu Shaloy Lashman is psulim. It's possible. So how do you show you sin Lashma? You have to kiss it. Okay, he was choylik on the Mishnah, on the first Mishnah Masech the Zvachim. Okay, so he's a new type of the pasuk. Zayiv Chayadim does not mean human sacrifice. Does not mean those who sacrifice to the Masei Adam. does not mean like the Targum. It does not mean that it's equivalent to a zevach. It means if an Adam comes today to my temple and he wants to bring a zevach, an animal, to the god, the first thing is it has to be lishma. This is not Judaism. It has to be lishma. I don't want lip service. I want the lips. I want the real lips, not the lips. I want you to kiss the ego. Interesting, right? It's very interesting. You know, like the Mishnah, like the
very smart. I think he's very smart.
Yeah. He was obviously, you know, he made a new religion. You know, he's a brilliant person. What he's doing over here. It's it's not really clear. It's not clear what besides the worshiping of the idols, how else did they conduct themselves? What?
He changed the days of
the Torah. He changed the new days. How does Hani just saw what it says in the Torah? Maybe he hid the Torah from them. Maybe he put it in, you know, it wasn't like today. You can go online.
one of the later Malachim, they
didn't even know what it was. So maybe he hid it from them. Or maybe he forgerized it. Maybe he wrote a new Torah. There's a lot that we don't know. There's a lot more that we do not know than we do know.
Wasn't early Christianity very, very similar?
Yeah, it was the same thing. With the Shema Shabbat, you couldn't tell. The early, depends on the Kufa.
Sunday, that was the big break.
There's a legend that who's the first Pope? Who's the first Pope? Paul, not Paul. It wasn't Paul then, it was some before Paul.
Peter.
Okay, so Peter was not necessarily, he wasn't the Pope, but he was one of the founders. So there's a legend that Peter was a Tana. There is a legend that they were sitting around, Rabbi Schneur Lyman, Dr. Schneur Lyman, what?
No,
I'm Peter.
And then he moved away, he wrote Nishmas and moved
right. He wrote Nishmas, right? And he was hired.
It was Paul.
It was Paul?
Okay, so
by the Tanoim. By the Gedolei Hadar, they sat around and they said, "We have to separate these people because they're going to destroy the whole Klal Yisrael. We have to take them away, distance them. Someone has to go undercover. Sounds like a movie. Someone has to go undercover, penetrate their inner circle, make believe you're one of them, all with the goal of separating them from us." And he accepted upon himself to do this. It was a Hira Hashah. And the consequence, obviously, were very for himself. It will be all over because he would no longer be associated with Klal Yisrael. But they said that he was privately shomer Torah mitzvahs. They never, because everything he locked himself up. He only came out occasionally to give speeches and to talk to people, tell them what to do. And he succeeded by having them. First of all, the most important thing that he did was he had convinced them that Shabbos should not be on Saturday.
Right.
Shabbos should be on Sunday. That was his major accomplishment. And then he told them also, you don't have to do all the mitzvahs. Don't do all the mitzvahs. Why do you have to do all the mitzvahs? Do only a few, make it easy, do a few mitzvahs. Couple of mitzvahs. And by doing so, he was able to weed away from Klal Yisrael the people who would destroy Klal Yisrael from within. And the legend is, he died on the ninth day of Teves, the ninth day of Teves, and that day is the day that we fast in Shulchan. We don't know the reason why. So some suggest, this is Dr. Lyman, some suggest that that's the reason. We could not write it in Shulchan Aruch, that the reason why we fast on the ninth day of Teves is because of him. But that's the day that he died. He died, his yard site is the ninth day, he's a very holy, he wrote Nishmas. The Tefillah of Nishmas, the legend is, I don't know if it's for sure anything, was written by him, by Paul, who was really a Shomer Torah Mitzvah 100%.
What's the Hebrew name?
I don't know. I thought it was Peter. Oh, I thought it was... I don't know, whatever it was. Who difference to make? But some say, the nine, Shulchan Aruch, it says there are 3 days that we fast consecutively. The eighth day, the ninth, and tenth. The tenth is Asar B'Teves, when the Mikdash was put under siege. The eighth day was when the Torah in Egypt was translated to Greek during the time of the Bayis Sheni. Towards the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, they translated the Torah into Greek, And it says a darkness came down to the world for 3 days. That took place on the 8th Talmai HaMelech. Talmai HaMelech. What?
The
Talmud. He translated the Torah on the 8th day of Teves. The 10th day of Teves is the siege. The 9th day, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you fast as well. And we don't know why. It has been forgotten from us the true reason why we fast on this day. So when you can imagine, when the Shulchan Aruch says we forgot why, we don't know why, you only will find 100 reasons why we fast on this day. By far the most popular, and Mishnah Berurah cites this, is because we have a legend that it is the yard site of Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer is the equivalent of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's mamish, the equivalent of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was like basically the whole impetus to build the Bayis Sheni. And it's his yard site. That's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. That's the most popular legend. If you go look in the more in the, some of the more extreme Svarim, they'll tell you it's the day when Yashka was born. Okay, and it's very debatable if it's true. First, we don't even know. There's no way to know. There are a few Yashkas. There's more than one Yashka. There's no way to know. V'chulu. It's not important. Dr. Lyman, after doing enormous amount of research, he feels that the pshat that's closest to the MS is it was instituted as a day to dedicate in honor of this holy Tana who took it upon himself to save Klal Yisrael by weeding out the individuals who would have destroyed it from within by pulling them out and making for them their own new religion so they should not bother us. It worked because we're still here. But unfortunately, it also worked to the degree that they're the ones who have persecuted us like none other. Halacha biyadenu, Esav, son of Yaakov, they're the ones who carried out that halacha, unfortunately. So it worked with great expense, with great pain. And we give him credit. He saved us. So therefore, on the day when he died, we all fast that his Nisham Shavan Aliyah, the sacrifice that he made for him, that he did for Klal Yisrael by giving up his whole life and his family and everything in order that they can meet Klal Yisrael, is deserving that everyone should pay tribute to his neshama. Okay, now, going back, but over here, Yeraman Avad, this pasuk over here is really awesome. Every single word over here is teaching you a new yesod in this new religion that was invented by a Jew, a holy Jew. A Jew that Achiah HaShiloni anointed, put upon him oil, Shemen HaMishcha, and said, Hashem wants you to be the king of Klal Yisrael. He was a very great holy person. Can't even imagine how great he was. But because of a covet, because he got swept away in his honor, look how far he went. Now, last line of it in the Radak, of Rabbi Simon Zal, Perishu Zovcha Adam, Shay Zovcha, now he has another pshat, number five. Pshat number five and what it means. What it means, Zevchei Adam? It means, Shal Yuzevchim B'neim L'Avoy D'Zara. That's going back to what we said before. They would actually sacrifice their children like Moilech T'Avoy D'Zara. V'zeh Sh'am Adam, V'choy Yoyim L'Hem, K'choy Yoyim D'Zara, Mi Yishe Yizbach B'Neil L'Avoy D'Zara, K'day Hu L'Yoyis Noishek. This is exactly what Rashi says. The only difference is that over here, the Radak, he says their children. Rashi did not say the word children. The Radak adds in the word their children. L'Egel Shrei Karbon, Chav Hikav Lo, you were so good to the Baal, you offered to the Baal. Children are, therefore, you have the merit.
Rashi does say
Benoit. Shari Dorin Chav Kadesh. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Benoit, he does say. So, therefore, this last parish is exactly what Rashi said. Now, let's take a look over here at the Mari Korah. Mari Korah, Pasig Beis. Pasig Beis, where is it? It's on back on page 186. Page 186. Vyato Yosivu Lachto Aviata Beis Yehu. So he's going down further in the time of history. He's going down, according to him, he's jumping down in history. This is the second, I think, did we do this yesterday? Maybe we did it. Let's just go very quickly. V'yata beis yehu, yosivu lachto, mehimlachti es yehu, kidei lahakois es beis achav adonai. Hashem says, this goes back down 100 years almost, 100 years later. Yehu comes into power. The whole only reason why Yehu was given the mouth is because Yehu, he killed Achav. Achav was the carryover from Yeravam ben Nevat. Achav is carrying on the legacy of Yerov Menavat. Hashem's enough of these apikarsim already. Enough! Get rid of them. Let's put a new regime. A new regime comes, and now, and who's the new regime? Yehu! And guess what happened to Yehu? he became was just as corrupt as his predecessor. Kidei lahakos is beis achav adoynoi losseis is beisa kibeis shal yirav ben nevat achav should be destroyed like Yerom ben Nevat was destroyed because he was carrying the same legacy. The Labasoif, what happened? He also became corrupt. Yehu. Oisev Yehu lachato yoiser mikulam. So there are already three different generations, three different kufas. Yerom ben Nevat, Achav's family, and now we have Yehu. And they're all corrupt. Now here is something very, very interesting. This is very, very interesting. They knew how to train. It was all about money. They were the best fundraisers, the best phonies. Look what they did over here. Try this today. What would they do? They had a secret CIA training ground that was not marked, that was not publicized, black ops, right? Off the chart, off the records. There's no record that this facility exists anywhere in the world. Cannot find on any record. And what are they doing there? They made an image that was identical to the richest man in town. The Tsar Ha'ir. They had an image, the richest man in town. They made a demus. They took an animal, they took a golem, and they starved them to death. Mamash starved them a month before. And then the very last minute, before the animal would die from starvation, they unveiled the statue of the richest man of town, surrounded by food, surrounded by grain and food. And the animal was starving. Ha! It runs to the statue, and it eats all the food. Ah, it fills up its stomach. And they did this again and again and again until it was etched into the mind of this animal, associated this statue with food. And then came the big day. They called, it was the big holiday, and they said, today we're going to offer a human sacrifice to the gods. And what was the rule? Whoever is, and who's going to be the human sacrifice? We're going to let the eagle walk around the crowds. And whoever the eagle licks, this is the one that is going to be selected to be the human sacrifice for the gods. And it just so happens that it's in the small print, the person that is sacrificed to the gods, all of his money becomes the property of the temple. That just what it's happens to be part of the rules, the bylaws. The guy is has $10 in the bank, so the $10 becomes the property of the temple, and he goes to know all the big shots. The CEOs get a lot of money. So they deliberately wanted to take all the millions and trillions of dollars of the richest people in the world. So they secretly made statues and they trained the animal to associate food with this person. And then when they had the holiday and they let the eagle run among the audience, and whoever the eagle licks is going to be the sacrifice, who do you think the eagle is going to lick? The richest man in town. And they would take him against his will. He can be screaming his head off. Too bad. The eagle wants you. You have been selected. Today's your lucky day. They take him. They kill him. And then they go to the bank and they cash in big. That's what they did in these times. The animal was trained that it's this person, this image, is what gives him the food. Then, when they want to go make a holiday and offer an animal as a sacrifice, they would hide, they would put it away, okay, they would hide this image. They bring the whole city together. The Kohen would say, the God wants today a human sacrifice. How are we going to select human sacrifice? The animal which is kissed. The animal, so therefore, the whole nupshat. A whole nupshat in this pasuk. When it says over here, agolim yishakun, does not mean that you, the person, kisses the eagle. It means the eagle kisses you. The one whom the eagle kisses is the one that's going to be the zoivchei adam. It's going to be the human sacrifice. All for the purpose of what? Money. Money. It's all about money. Follow the money.
How long before they all kept on?
Well, we know. Well, I don't. They Egel Hoylech v'Noyishek Lo Yegwan kissed him. Okay, and the next will Oisa Oishra b'Demus Hatzelim Shechel Levanu Kol Yom, and that's the one he kissed. V'Zeur Zoyvchi Adam Agol Mishakun Pisroyno Oisa. That one Shanu Zoyvchim Lavodazara Shagolim Minashkim Lo. It's the one who the Egel has kissed. Okay, the only parish we did not do is the Malbum. We want to do it now. We're going to finish up today this pasuk. Now we'll just run through it very, very quickly. This is very, very fast. This the pasuk base. We can go on to our next pasuk. Pasuk base 187. The Ata in the Malbum. They killed the king. The Yoram was killed. Yeravam ben Nevat forced the people to worship the Egel. But when he died, no one was forcing the people to worship the Egel anymore. So why are they worshiping the Egel? Because they want to. They're addicted. They want to. So now the sin is that much greater. You're no longer being forced, and you do it on your own free will, it's worse. Until now, who paid for the Egel? It was the king. Yeravam ben Nevat spent his own money to make the Egle Zahav. But now, when the king is dead, and they want to worship idols, they're spending their own money. They're addicted. V'yata yasumi kaspam. That's why it says over here the word kesav means from their own cash, to indicate how deep they're even willing to pay for it. Sometimes you'll do something foolish as long as I don't have to give one penny. If I have to pay, forget it. That far I'm not going to go. Here it shows they were so sick, they were even willing to spend their own money. That's the emphasis of why it says kaspam. According to Mamash Nasa, arata lohoyu mitvunasam v'sichlam. Now he also learns the word tvuna means their understanding. Until now, they did not understand why they're doing this. They had no choice. They were forced to do it. It was not logical why we should bow down to an eagle. But they got used to it. So now when Yoram ben Nevat died, and Achav died, and Yehu, they're still doing this for years and years and years. It's they're doing it because their tevuna, their logic, their mind tells them to do this. All of this is what the melech is what the king did to them. The melech anirzach, which means that he brought this all into motion. Yeravam ben Nevat set into motion this terrible thing. Atzabim, next Yosef, Yosef Litzar, Militzasa in the Skavois, Mitzayer. He over here, he says, wondrous things are about to be taught us in this pasuk, the Malbim says. Shratzabim, hey Maasech, Hashem Kuloi, Ritzin Aloyma, Shratzabim Nasu. Idols were made from Bimuleches Chorosh, craftsmen. The Chosh of Atche Yesh Bilochem Peladaber. And they thought that it has to have a peva mitzayer ki atzabim lochem oimrim hatzabim. Now here it says oimrim, not like all of the other commentators. All of the commentators were consistent and told us the word oimrim means the priests of these gods would speak. He's learning that the idol itself would talk. There was some technology. They had technology that was able. Siri, that's Amazon. Who's that? Google or Amazon? One of those two, right? They both have a name. What's the other one's name?
Alexa.
Alexa and Siri, the two agolim of this generation. They talk. They talk and they listen. They listen.
They have a new one from Satan called Ruchu.
Umitzayer ki atzabim lohem oimrim. Ho'atzabim medabrim v'hem oimrim ela'am shabov nishak oisam l'chabdam yoimur atzabim alayim zov chadim agol mishakun ela shazavchu oda ela shazavchu oda m'haynu shiratzchu as a melech al sh'ovar es sh'ovar es agol. Now he's another pshat. He's saying his thing over here is zovchu oda means the people killed a human being. They killed a king. Yoram ben Nevat was murdered. He was assassinated. I think so. Was not assassinated. I don't know. Achav, the Beis Lachia. I'm not remember the details. But some of these kings, they were assassinated because they were fed up. But even though they were fed up, still they were addicted. They could not break the old habit. How could it be now that after they went and they killed their king in protest for worshiping idols, do they continue in their old ways? Yishkun is a golem. They continue haloi achash abosim lishak es vagolim mvor ki pi zivachtem odem rat. You kill a person who's telling you not to do this, and you do it. How could this possibly? You know, it's very frightening because this thing is very. You see people over here. They go to extremes. Don't go. You have to have a filter. You have to not have anything to do with women. And you know, many times, unfortunately, it turns out that these people, these extremists, who go to extreme measures and go and they give muss to the whole world that you're not allowed to look at women, you're not allowed to do this like that. They're the ones later in life who are caught are doing the worst of eros. It happens, not so uncommon. So here it's exactly what happens over here. There are kanoim. The kanoim saying this king got to go. Yeron ben Avad is a rasha. He's choyte machli asa'am. So they kill him. You don't want to kill a person. You have to have a trial. You have to have law mishpat. They murdered him. Cold-blooded murder. And then what happens? Okay, you got your objective. So stop doing Avodah Zarah. And then they themselves, nothing happened. They continue to do Avodah Zarah. You hypocrites. You go and you scream bloody murder. And you yourself, you continue to do the same averos as to why you took these extreme measures. It's a sickness. It's mamash a sickness. And that's over here. How their Malam is learning Shan the Pasuk. But also, one of the most interesting things that he's saying is they had technology, some type of kishuf, black magic, or technology, which made the Agolim actually speak. Actually would speak, and it would tell the people, come, bring us sacrifices. Yeah. Lion. So you find Zelim, and you find some of the positive. Oh, talking. All right, tomorrow on to Pasuk Gimel.